Well, I'm going to continue the message. Had no idea we'd be sharing on this, but God said carry it one more week, so that's what I want to be obedient to doing. We've been sharing from the book of Daniel. It's just blessed me so much, and if there was a passage that I would encourage you to read, it would be the book of Daniel. Some of the Old Testament can be boring. I'm just being real. Like Leviticus, if you want to get put to sleep, read Leviticus. It's a whole bunch of laws and rules and stuff like that. But Daniel is exciting because Daniel, where it talks about, you know, the fiery furnace, you know, which we studied last week, or a couple of weeks ago, and last week we talked about Daniel in the lion's den. You know, some exciting things, but how they held firm to what they believed. They were courageous, and they were full of faith, and they believed God, and they worshiped him and would not bow down to idol gods. This particular week, it continues. In the book of Daniel, 5th chapter, 4th verse, and those that have it, now I used to say it because you had your Bibles all the time, and some still have their Bibles, bless God. And even if your Bible's on your phone, that's still cool. I am not hating today. Hallelujah. Not throwing no shade, nothing. Now we doing this. Daniel 5 and 4, it says, as they drank the wine, they praised, help me out, the, and that's small g, right? They praised the small g gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. The next verse, the 5th verse, it says, and suddenly, somebody say suddenly. It says, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. It says, the king watched the hand as it wrote. We're going to talk about the handwriting on the wall. If there's ever a time that I believe that God is sending us a message, I believe that is now. So join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Speak to us and through us this day. We humble ourselves as a vessel before you. This is your church. Father, use your church for your glory. We love you. We appreciate you. May lives be changed for an eternity. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And those that agree with that prayer, say amen. Give God one more praise. He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. I said, give God one more praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, God. You say, Pastor, why do you encourage us to praise? Why do you encourage us to be vocal and loud? Well, one reason is because something about praise that absolutely silences the enemy. One passage says it paralyzes the enemy. And I want you to know that if you're in the midst of something, man, don't forget to praise your God because he is worthy to be praised. As we talked about earlier, that we've been studying Daniel and the importance of Daniel is the very fact that Israel and Judah in particular had been exiled to Babylon. Babylon means Babel, we get the word Babel, which means confusion. And when I look at that passage, it makes me know that we're living in a confused time today as well. Babylon wanted to get the best and the finest of the men that Judah had to offer. Why? Because they wanted to convert them. They wanted them to change. They wanted to make them a part of their culture. They wanted them to serve their gods. They wanted to indoctrinate them. And then they wanted to institutionalize them, so therefore they changed their name. I know I just said quite a bit, but they were trying. And truth be known, is that's what's happening in the world today. They are trying to desensitize us, trying to make you think that everything is normal and this is how it should be. But there's a standard that God has, and we always have to go back to his purpose, his plan, and not the confused world. Can I get a witness? So I like what Nebuchadnezzar, when he came to Daniel and he was praying, he was like saying, hey, do what you want to, king, but I'm still going to pray. I'm not going to allow you to dictate to me when we do pray and when we don't pray. I'm going to be nice to you, so long live the king, but I'm not going to pray. The Hebrew boy, same way. He says, if you don't bow down to our God, guess what? You know, we're going to throw you in the furnace and going to turn it up 7 times hotter. Now, I got to let you know that that will make you pray. You know, 7 times hotter than a regular fire. And some of us, we can't hardly stand 91 degrees, right? We're going to turn this up and put you in there. It was so hot that the people throwing them in, they perish. But the thing is that the Bible says that Daniel, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't overheated. They were just chilling. They were in there walking around, not even in a hurry to get out. The king was talking to them. Hey, y'all down in there. They said, come out of here. Can you imagine? You know, but that's what happens when God is on your side. Nebuchadnezzar saw their faith. Nebuchadnezzar began to praise their God. I believe Nebuchadnezzar got saved because he began to say, praise be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think that we can live such a life that people will look at us and say, man, your God is bad. He's awesome. He's mighty. If he can take the very flame and put you in it and not burn you up, I want you to know he's an awesome God. Same way with Daniel when they threw him in the lion's den. And people were out there, they're saying, well, God, the king at that particular time was saying, I pray that your God answered you the next day. Daniel, are you there? Long live the king. I'm all right, dude. How you doing? In the lion's den. I want you to know that God will operate in your behalf as well and send angels to shut the mouth of the lions. That would be enough to cause a major change in my life and even me to begin to say, God, you're worth worshiping. This particular time, God is getting the attention of his people again. That's one reason that he sent Daniel and the Judahites. All the folks from Judah. That's why I sent their tribe to Babylon. Why? He wanted to get people of God in a place where they could shine. And I want you to grasp this, because today in America, God wants his believers, his people to shine. In the midst of confusion, in the midst of darkness, he wants us to shine. We are the light of the world. Say it with me, I am the light of the world. Now, how many of you all believe that? Light shines brightest in darkness. So it's not our time to conform to the world, but it's our time to shine bright. Somebody give God praise and glory in this house. So this particular passage, God is still trying to get the attention of the Babylonians. And here the Bible says that they were doing their thing and, man, they were having a party. And that brings me to my first point. Regardless of where you are, God will get your attention. That's my first point. God said with me, God will get your attention. And he will get your attention because he has something better for you, and he loves you. And he will get your attention in many different ways. One way he'll get our attention is in dreams. You know, sometimes we'll dream, and even Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and the dream just scared him so much. He was like, what does this dream mean? He called everybody to try to help him interpret the dream, but they couldn't. But Daniel, of course, could. And I think today that we still need people in our local body, our church body, that can interpret dreams. But we have to be spiritually sensitive. We have to have an ear to hear what thus saith the Lord. And if you're here and you have that type of gift, we want to know who you are. We want you to operate in the church, because some of you think, well, it's just something just happens. No, those are God gifts. Are you with me today? Sometimes he'll send it through dreams, and other times he'll use angels. And angels are messengers of the Lord. He'll send messenger. I'm doing really well today. He'll send some messages your way through angels. Hallelujah. And those angels will give a message. They came to Mary and said, Mary, highly favored are you. And it's amazing that Gabriel gave her the message. And finally, she finally received it. And then that's when the angel departed. He says, now, so be it unto you, because you believe what the Lord has said. I want you to know that God wants to get your attention, and he will use several means to do just that. He will use friends and family and enemies. So why you stick families in there? I was just thinking. He'll use friends and families to get your attention, and enemies. You say, how are you going to use enemies? Well, let me first start talking friends. That's the easiest. David was a God, man after God's own heart. It's amazing how God used David in an amazing way. But this particular time, he had gotten off track and began to do some things. And he didn't even embrace the fact that he had done wrong and was going on business as usual. And talking about what other people should be doing. And then his friend, somebody say friend, because your friend just won't tell you what you want to hear. They'll tell you what you help me out. Now, how many of you all need some good friends that will tell you when you off? That'll tell you, you know, when you need some help, when your head is nappy, when you got a booger hanging. They'll say, you know, you got a booger hanging right there. Now, I'm just being real. Supposed to want to wake y'all up too, hallelujah. A real friend will. Other ones say, oh, man, they'll leave, and they'll say, man, you know, dude got booger hanging. You know, did you see that? Friends say, hey, dude, come here. Here's a handkerchief. Take this. Handle that. I can't hardly see you. See. And moving on. Enemies. How can he use enemies? You know, how can he use enemies? He used the Philistines to help Samson get back on track. You know, what do you mean? Sometimes you think you're going to hang out with the enemy and it'd be all right, and sometimes your enemies will make you pray. Y'all be on these, say, Lord, Lord. Whew, Lord, help me. You will. And then there's a Bible. And the Bible's important because it gives you wisdom, and it's time for us to embrace that wisdom, you know, that the Bible gives us. And it'll tell you all day things that can help you grow in the things of God. And then there are prophecies, and prophecies are still for today. One-third of the Bible is actually prophetic. What does that mean? That God was speaking about things to come. Many of them have been fulfilled, but there are some that have not been fulfilled. And I want you to know that prophecies are real, and they're personal prophecies. And some of us, again, I'm back to this point, some of us have the gift of prophecy to operate in that prophetic gift, and we want that to come forth in you. Are you with me today? And if you have it, don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. Learn how to embrace it and say, God, you've made me different, and thank you that you've made me different so I can do the very work of the kingdom and use it for your glory. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. It's getting quiet, and I might have a prophecy section, but I'm scared. And then he'll use talking donkeys. And I said donkeys. The King James Version has another word for that. He will use talking donkeys. I'm just going to stay right there. Hallelujah. What does that mean? How can he get our attention from a talking donkey? Can I let you know that the scripture, Old Testament, tells us about this passage where, you know, Balaam had a task to do, and Balaam refused to do what God wanted him to do. Are there any Balaams in the house today? Don't raise your hand. Hallelujah. And don't look around. But Balaam said, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to do my own thing. And he had a donkey with him. He was riding the donkey, and they came by a certain pass, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, and he says, no, you can't come here. Guess what, man? And Balaam starts hitting that donkey. You better move. You better move forward. Donkey said, what you hit me for? Man, there's no book like the Bible. Can't he get a witness? Yeah, I'm telling you what. Can the donkey talk? Mr. Ed wasn't the first one. Can't he get a witness? So therefore, he'll get a message to you. He'll get a message to you. And then sometimes he'll use a burning bush. And that's what we've learned with Moses. But the good thing, we've seen many burning bushes, but no burning bushes that would not be consumed. Can I let you know God wants to get your attention? And then finally, man, sometimes he'll use the handwriting on the wall. And when I look at this passage and recognize that God loved these people so much that he was willing to go extra extents and lengths in order to get their attention. And sometimes I'm telling you what, that even now God wants to get your attention. Sometimes you're doing your own thing and he says, no, I've got something for you to do. And if you would just hear my voice, it would make a huge difference. And this is what happened in Daniel 5 and 1. It says, King Belshazzar gave a great banquet or party for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. So understand, this is a party time. They're getting ready to get with it. They're getting ready to drop it like it's hot. They're getting ready to, pop it. I mean, they're getting ready to say the roof is on fire. We don't need no music. Don't go say the rest. I'm just saying, they're getting ready to do this thing. And I understand that because when I was in the world, I used to do that as well. Not a whole bunch, but every chance I'd get out. And you know if you didn't get out much when you got out. So they were having a party, and this was an invitation-only party. So they had nobles, and they was getting with it. And it's like saying, we're going to do this. And the thing is, it says that, and the next verse, second verse, it says, and while Belshazzar was drinking his wine, and he gave orders to bring out the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem. So the king and his nobles, his wives and concubines, this dude really knew how to party. Had but not wife, wives and concubines. It's like girlfriends. Man, We're going to move on that part. Might drink from them the sacred vessels as well. Third verse. It goes on and says, so they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles and his wives and his concubines drank from them. Fourth verse. And then it goes on and says, as they drank, somebody say, as they drank wine. So while they're in the midst of this, they was praising their gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and wood. And I got to share this with you. Some would say, you know, as long as it's okay, as long as you praise some god, I got to differ with you. You know, there are a whole lot of gods, but you can't praise any god. You just can't praise the small g god. There is one most high God, and he is the one that knows how to deliver folks out of the fiery furnace, shut the mouths of the lions, save your soul, heal your body. That's the God I'm talking about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Dos. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that's the God we want to serve, the most high God. And I know in this day and in this hour, we like to say, well, as long as they serve in something. Well, there are demons. There are doctrine of demons. There is the occult. There are demons and demonic presences, and some people are selling their soul to that thing. So you say, well, if that makes them happy, please, there has to be a truth. There's grace and then there's truth. Are you with me today? God wants us to share. So God was not pleased with them praising the gods of gold and silver. He said, well, what about us today, man? If we're praising gods of gold and riches and how would you say it, affluence and all the things that I've acquired, God is not happy with that. My boy, I could stay here for a minute. But if you're here and you're focusing on the stuff and you worshiping that as opposed to worshiping God, and when we come to church, it's like, okay, God, I'll be glad when he's done. And why are they singing that song so long? As opposed to, God, this is all about you. This is from my heart to you, God, and I want to give you my best. Look what happens. The Bible says, suddenly the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the walls near the lampstand in the royal palace. Can you imagine? The king is checking this out. It's like on the wall. It would be, wouldn't it be neat if we saw that today? If he started writing stuff on the wall, some of y'all get scared. Y'all go, ah! I'm out of here. It said the king watched the hand as it wrote. Now, that was a party to remember. That was a party to remember. Can you imagine your boys, your broskies? Y'all said faster, you didn't. Y'all didn't listen to God's plan. Moving on. Can you imagine you're talking about, man, you know, I know we drunk, man, but we ain't that drunk. That's a hand. And it's writing something up there. He said, did you see that? Well, look at the next passage here in the sixth verse. It says, his face, talking about the king's face, turned what? And he was so frightened that his knees was shook up. He was like, ah. Now, he didn't even know what it said and he was shook up. How many of you all know sometimes you know you're doing wrong? The word hadn't even been interpreted, and he was shook up. He was shook up that the Bible says his legs became weak and his knees started knocking. Can I let you know this, is that God loves us so much that he pursues us and exposes sin in our life. Let me say it one more time. It's a good place to take a note to. While you're in the midst of your mess, God loves you in the midst of your mess. I want to make sure we don't miss this. God loves you too much for you to keep on the path that you're on. Therefore, I send messages. Quiet on that part. Hallelujah. So he sends people in our lives to help, to challenge us to get back on track. or to denounce the wicked or evil that we're doing so we could do what God has called us to do. And I know it would have been a much easier message for me to preach something on freedom, and I have got some good barbecue jokes and all that kind of stuff. But God says, no, this is the message I want you to bring and I want you to deliver today. Why? Because, you know, if we're not careful, America will go down the same path of feeling a certain way and looking down at other folks. And God says there's some things that I want you to deal with. And when you see a people and a number of people that have begun to say, we don't want God in our schools, we don't want God in our churches. I'm saying churches too, because they said we just want him to be this all-inclusive God that everybody can come to. And just as long as it's a God, put him there with all the other little gods. And he says, no, I want you to bow to me and me only. Hallelujah. Thank you. So when we think of where we are, sin has to be exposed because God loves us. Are you still with me? It doesn't mean that I don't love you. No, I love you enough to send help. And I know that we struggle with that, because when you start talking about sin, people get really quiet. But sin means I'm missing the mark. I'm off track. You know, it was taken from the term old time back in the biblical days, when they would shoot an arrow and there would be a target there. And when they would miss the target, the person doing the judging would say, sin. Why? Because he missed the target. I don't know about you, but sometimes I miss the target. I miss the target, but God sends people to me to help me. Sometimes he sends a preacher. Sometimes he sends my wife. Well, getting quiet, and husbands get tough on that. I ain't trying to hear that. He sends your wife. Somebody wrote a book and said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me last week, and he sounded a lot like my wife. I see some of y'all nudging each other. Say, yeah, it's okay, though. But my thing is this: God loves you enough that he pursues you. And I love that song that the kids sang last week. And Tracy had them doing little kind of things that go along with it. He says, reckless love, you know, your love, help me out with the words. Kicks down. What's the first part? It says, does something. There's no mountain you won't climb up. Yeah, and that, don't you know that he loves you enough that there's no mountain he won't climb up? No wall he won't kick down? Why? Coming after you. Why? Sometimes we off and he needs to not kick the wall down, but right on the wall. Why? Because he's coming after you. And sometimes the message is that I love you so much that I don't want you to go down this path. Have you ever sent someone that message? I care about you. I don't want to see you go down this path. We had the privilege of sitting with our grands, a couple of them yesterday, one actually, and the other came later on. But the issue is that sometimes, you know, the one-year-old, man, she can see things that you can't see because she's that tall. She can walk and, you know, say a few words and all those things. It's amazing. But certain things we have to say no to because they're dangerous. Can I get a witness? And what would we be like if we said, well, I know she's getting ready to stick that fork in the socket, but because we love her and we don't want to hurt her feelings, let her go on. And go on, little girl. It's okay. We love you and we understand. No, come here. Wah, cry if you want to. I don't want you to kill yourself. Are you with me today? Because if you all act like that when it comes to kids, then we don't want to trust our kids to you. And God told me the same thing. He says, there's some people that you need to share because I love them. He says, I know you want to be politically correct. I know you want to be liked, but you've got to share this message. So guess what? I'm just giving you what God has given me. Somebody give God a praise in the house. I mean, give God a real good praise in the house. God loves us so much that he exposes sin in our life. Look at Daniel 4:27. It says this: the king Nebuchadnezzar, he says, please accept my advice. And this is Daniel to the king. He simply says, stop sinning and do what is right. Isn't that simple? Stop sinning and do what is right. Break from your wicked past and be merciful to the poor, perhaps then you will continue to prosper. You've been blessed, and God has been the one that caused you to prosper. But you need to stop sinning because God's getting your attention. He's given you a dream, and this dream is so you can change. And all you've got to do is stop and change. Isn't that the very definition of repent? To change from where I'm going to a different direction, have a change of heart. Are you with me today? But do you think the king going to listen? I am the king. I do what I want, when I want, how I want, however often I want. You think it would change? Now, again, I think if I saw that and saw what happened to the king, because in the next verse it says that 5 and 18, it says this, and I just want to call your attention. It says, Your Majesty, the Most High God gave sovereignty and majesty and glory and honor to your predecessor. Talk about Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, God is a sovereign God, and he gives sovereignty to whoever he wants to. Point I want to make on this. Many of us are in places, in good places, and we think we are where we are because we did so much. What did he say? The Most High God did what? Even before you were saved, even before you had it right, even before you have it tight, God bless you. And if you're in a place right now, man, this is enough right now to make you want to preach. Because the thing is, when I look around and I see what God has done in my life, man, it makes me want to say, God, I know I didn't do that. When I look around and see the car that I'm driving, I say, God, I didn't do that. And I know it's you that gave me. When I see my health, and I don't care how healthy you've been eating, I don't care. I eat well. That's why. There's a whole lot of folks eating well that aren't as healthy as you. And some of y'all don't eat well, and you're still healthy, and God has blessed you. When I see the house that God has given us, man, Lord, I thank you. And I know that it's the Most High God that gave me the blessings that he's given me. I don't know about you, but it makes me want to just give him a praise right now. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. And may I never take it upon myself to get proud. Can I say that one more time? If there's one thing that Pastor Doss doesn't want to do after 24 years, almost 25 years, man, I don't want to get off track at the end of my run. Can I get a witness? Man, I want to finish strong. And in order to finish strong, that means I'd be totally committed to God. For God, for you I live. For you I die. I know that I am where I am only because of you. You've opened doors. Everything that you people look around and they see, and see, there were a group of people that came not long ago, and there's another group that's coming like 2 weeks from now, and they want to know, well, how did you get where you are? And how do we do this? You think I get up there and say, well, bless God, let me show you how I did it. Let me show you my statistics, my facts, my pro forma. Let me show you my bank statement. No, no, no. I said, I may let you know the truth. Pastor Doss had no clue how to do any of this. But God opened doors. But God sent people. But God provided financially. I want you to know that everything that God has done in my life, I give him the glory and give him the praise. Can I let you know that we owe him praise, more praise than we give him? That we need to say, God, thank you for all that you've done. We bless you, Lord. I wish we had a praising church even on today because he deserves our praise. Thank you, God. See, he made him so great that the people of all races and nations and languages said, tremble before him in fear. He killed those who he killed some, and he spared those who he wanted to spare. He honored those he wanted to honor and disgrace those who he wanted to disgrace. Think of it, there's a but transition, next verse. But when his heart and mind was what? With arrogance, he was what? Doesn't that go with scripture that says, it says he resists the proud? It says that pride comes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. When you get to this place, there's a danger of falling, and you have to be careful because when you get puffed up because that's what I'm praying for America. I don't want us to walk in this whole mindset that we're better than all this and we're better than this one, better than that one. Because when you get to that place, man, you're just posturing yourself for a fall because he was brought down from the royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven from human society. He was given the mind of a wild animal, and he lived among the wild, there's that word again, donkeys. He ate grass like a cow, and he was drenched with the dew of the heaven, went until he learned what? Can I let you know that regardless of how you think or what you think or who's saying this or who's saying that, the Most High God is the one that's sovereign. He is the one that rules, and he is the one that deserves our praise and deserves our glory. Can we give him a praise today? Now look at this next passage. It says, the kingdoms of the world appoints anyone he desires to rule over them. He says, you are his successor. Talking about Nebuchadnezzar's successor, O Belshazzar, and you knew all this. In other words, you saw dude, fall. You saw what happened to him. And it says, and yet you have not what? Man, have you ever seen one of your siblings get a good spanking? Man, one time I saw one of my sisters get in trouble. My older sister, I won't say which one, my only one though. But, man, she got tore up. And you think I was going to do what she did? Oh, no. I just stand back and say, woo, you got tore up. How many of you all know that if you had saw what Belshazzar had saw, you'd want to change and humble yourself? Man, I my dad took me by a place where there were a lot of drunks one particular time, and he began to share with me. He says, Wayne, we got to do something for them, pick them up and take them to their houses and so forth and so on. He says, son, but you don't want to drink. You think he had to tell me twice? No. When you see what certain things do to other folks, then you want to change. And that's, to me, folks, that's just fairly simple. Woo, hallelujah. Moving on, 23rd verse. It says this, for you have proudly defied the Lord of heaven and have led these cups or you have had these cups removed from the temple and brought before you. It says you and your nobles and your wives and your concubines have been drinking wine from these cups. And I go to the next verse there. While praising small g gods of silver, gold, bronze, iron, wood, stone. God said, neither see nor hear. They don't even know anything at all. But you have honored, if not honored, the God who gives you, listen, read this, the breath of and the. That's a shouting place right there. You honor all this other stuff. You honor all of these, if you will, entertainers. You look at them and bow down and buy their stuff and want to dress like them and look like them. It says, but when it comes to honoring God who gives you breath, the breath of life, and controls your destiny, who ought we ought to be honoring? Who ought we to be giving glory to? Who ought we to be praising? Do me a favor. Think of something that God has done for you and give him your best praise right where you are. Let's give him your best praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, God. We bless you, we honor you, Father. So there is a word that is written on the wall, and it's up to us because, when the word comes to us and as it came to him, he began to ask the question, and the question is simply this, what are you going to do because the Lord is getting your attention? And it says, instead of you listening to what it said, you lifted yourself up against the Lord, and then he begins to tell him what it means. Go to the next verse there. I believe it's the next verse. And next one after that. There you go. Thank you very much. It says, therefore I've sent the hand. And who sent it? He sent the hand and wrote this inscription. And this is what the inscription means. Meeny, meeny, tekel, parson. Parson. And here's what he said it was. Here is what these words mean. Next verse. Meaning, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. How many of you know just as you ride high, you can come down? Whew. Just because you're flowing now, you dig in the scene with a gangster lean. Man, stuff changes. Can I get a witness? He says, your days have been numbered of your reign is brought to an end. Tekel, It says, you have been weighed on the scale and found wanting. In other words, it doesn't weigh up. You short. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, you too short right now. Let me explain this. And some say, you know, Pastor, how could we ever add up? I'm glad you asked. Pastor Doss, I don't add up. As much as I do, as much as I read, as much as I study, as much as I pray, I still don't add up. The only way I can add up is for by grace am I saved through faith. Follow this. How can we stand before a holy God? Because here's the thing. Judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. So my question is, how can we stand before a holy God? We certainly can't lift up all our works to him and say, well, I've done this, let me in. That's not going to work. How do we do it? We have to humble ourselves and bow down to the Lord that sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. That's what we celebrated on the day. That's what communion's all about. When I couldn't pay the price, God sent somebody. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you with me today? So when I would offer my works, and my works fall short, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, your works fall short. But if you humble yourself, if you get down and say, God, I need you. Do you think that the king would have bowed down? But you know what? In his pride, he said, well, you know, since we're at the party, you know, I'm going to do what I said for you, Daniel. You know, bring out a nice outfit for Daniel, put on the outfit, you know, give him a raise, give him some money, and also make him third in charge. I know I'm about to die and not going to change. How many of you all know that if God comes to you and gives you a warning, that all you've got to do is submit yourself and humble yourself? But why is it so, oh man, I feel his anointing right now. Why is it so humble for us to say I was wrong? There's folks walking around mad today. I'm not going to humble myself. He did this, she did this, and I'm mad. What sense does that make? But I could go farther here, but I would be meddling. Since I don't throw no shade, let me move on. But judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. Well, what does that mean? That one day I'll stand before God and I'll give account of what I did. And when I ask him, okay, God, you know, are you going to let me in? You know, because that day is coming that I stand before him. And the thing about it is there's nothing I couldn't preach good enough. And I was doing some good preaching. I'm just saying. Couldn't pray enough. I couldn't visit the hospitals enough. But the Bible says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved me and you that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes upon him would not have to perish, but they'll have everlasting life. But do you think the king would bow their knees? If there's one thing that I'm praying for America, America, bow your knees. Abundant faith, humble yourself. Don't walk in pride, arrogance. But if you humble yourself, God will lift you up. Can I get a witness in this house? Thank you, God. I'm praying for some families, and I talked to someone the other day, and, you know, I know these conversations, and sometimes they'll come to me and say, Pastor Doss, you know, I'm getting ready to go a different direction that my wife and I, you know, is not working, but I found somebody else. And then they go on and say, well, you know, God would want me to be happy, and he knows my heart, and he would want me to be happy. So I said, but look what the word says. Well, I know all that, but it's God's grace. But there's not only amazing grace, but there's truth as well. Boy, I could take this somewhere. Have you ever saw people that knew they was off but refused to repent? So I'm not going to repent. I'm not going to do the right thing. I'm going to go on and do my thing. But judgment day is coming. If you all see me do a big piece of stupid like that, I deputize you all to get a switch and just come up here and just start. No. No, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm in love with my wife, and we're going to stay married until Jesus comes or one of us meets her first. But Judgment Day is coming. As I give you my last point, it's this. We have to make a decision, and I call it life's most important decision. Why did I call it life's most important decision? Because it deals with one question. Where will we spend eternity? When I think of that word, man, that's the most, it's more important than how much is in your 401k. It's more important than how big a house you built. It's more important than how people look at you. If everybody was, you know, looking at your wardrobe and talking about how you geared, you know, he's geared. More important about someone's image of you. More important than even how many likes you got on Facebook. And we live in a day and time where people like likes. Likes can't get you to heaven. Hallelujah. But the question is, where will I spend eternity? I was passing by the graveyard the other day, and I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you look over there and see the headstones, and you think all those headstones represent somebody. Are you all still with me? So my brother and I were walking on the path, and we were talking about life and how good God has been to us, and how we owe him our lives and so forth and so on, and we want to use our lives for him. And he began to talk, we begin to talk, and we're talking about something about how many folks or whatever. And Google can settle a whole lot of things. So we went to Google to settle what we were talking about. And we asked Google, how many people have ever lived on this planet? Google told us about approximately 100 billion people have lived and died on this. That's a bunch of people. Check this out. This is 1,000 million, billion, 100 billion. That's a whole lot of people. Those 100 billion people are somewhere. Can I get a witness? Getting quiet in this house. Anybody glad you came? But approximately 100 billion people have come, lived, and died on this planet. There is approximately 7 billion yet living, and you are in that bunch. So that means that you're amongst the minority. So, Pastor, what are you saying about that? You have to make a decision. How are you going to spend the rest of your time on the earth, and while you're the minority, while you have breath? They ran their course. They did what they were doing. You could either do it spending, making money, going on binges, whatever those binges look like, partying, all those other kind of things, or you could spend it on the kingdom. And I've made up my mind that, God, you know, now that I'm past 40, and probably half of my years already done, let me live the rest of my life boldly for you. I want you to get everything you possibly can out of my life. My head to toe, God, here I am. Not trying to hold anything back, God. I want every word to mean something. And may my words, may they go forth, and may you speak through me when I open my mouth. Can I bring someone else in the kingdom, someone that may not know you? And here's the good news. When you go to them and you begin to say, wow, we all fall short of the glory of God, but we're not saved by our works. All you need to do is humble yourself in the presence of God. Ask him to forgive you. And guess what? Even though you don't add up, when you place the blood of Jesus in the equation, you're forgiven. You're washed clean, just as if you had never sinned. Somebody give God praise in this house.